Thank you, Robert, and a very warm welcome to you. Thank you very much for coming, and a special word of thanks to the choir who come from different parts of the province and have come tonight to sing, and to Peter Smith, a member of the choir, who will be bringing the Lord's message. Before I hand over to the leader, Mr. Gordon McNeil, I just want to remind you of some announcements. Sunday school teachers, you have a meeting after the gospel service this evening. Tomorrow night, Monday, is the Messianic Testimony annual rally in the church here. The speakers are Simon Elman and Chrissy Rogers, and the worship will be led by Simon Elman, Chrissy Rogers, and Helen Shapiro. So we give you a very warm welcome to join with us tomorrow night at 7:30 in the church for the Messianic Testimony meeting. Then on Tuesday night, David Cosby, pastor of Coke Baptist Church, will continue his studies in 1 Peter chapter 2. On Wednesday, just to remember the office bearers that there's a meeting at 7:30, and on Thursday night is our weekly prayer meeting. If you want to hear the choir again, well, you will have opportunity to hear them in Bethany Baptist Church on Friday the 27th of March at 7:30 p.m. Bethany Baptist Church, Granshaw Road, Bangor, that is. Friday the 27th of March at 7:30. And also taking part, the Ambassadors Choir, the Morrisons, the Spirit of Praise, and the final message will be brought by Pastor Jackie Hughes. These are all the necessary announcements. Thank you for your good attention.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's our pleasure and our privilege to be here with you tonight. And we want to, as a choir, thank the oversight of the church for the invitation to come along and to sing the message of the gospel and to preach God's word also. And when you see these men stand up, you'll see there aren't too many of us nowadays. There was a time when there were about 20 male gospel choirs in Northern Ireland, but we're down now to one. And we could say, in a sense, the male choir movement is almost on its last legs. And when you see some of us standing up on the platform here, you'll realize that some of us are more on our last legs than others are. However, we thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to travel around and to sing the message of the gospel. But for everyone, first of all, it's an opportunity to stand and to sing the praises of God in our opening hymn tonight, which, if I'm right in remembering, is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. A well-known hymn, so let's hear everyone singing to your very best for the praise of the Lord himself.
Of salvation.
thank you for singing out so well. Let's just still our hearts in the Lord's presence as we come before him in prayer and seek for his help in the meeting tonight. Our almighty and everlasting Father, we come into your presence in the name of the one of whom we have just been singing, in the name of our blessed Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the only Saviour of sinners. And we come this night, Father, with thanksgiving that so many of us in the meeting have been able to sing those words in full truth. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How we thank you, Father, that though you are a God of justice and holiness and one who abhors sin, yet you are also a God of grace and a God of mercy. And Father, so many of us here in this meeting tonight have experienced that grace and that mercy which sought us on the road of life and drew us on to yourself. Father, we acknowledge there were many of us who were going with haste down that broad road that was leading to destruction. But we thank you, Father, that you laid hold upon us and you drew us to that narrow way which leadeth on to life. You revealed to us our own sin, and you revealed to us your own Son, who is the Saviour of sinners. We thank you, our Father, for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ wrought upon the cross at Calvary. We freely acknowledge, Father, that it is only through the shedding of his blood that we can know forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Father, that he was faithful to you and faithful to his own as he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as he took the punishment that each one of us should have taken, that each one of us deserved. There he laid down his life that we might have life, and have life everlasting. Father, we come tonight to thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you for the one who wrought salvation there upon Calvary's cross. And Father, as we meet tonight, as we come to sing the message of the cross, and as we come later to hear the message of the cross preached, we pray, our Father, that you will both convict sinners and that you will cheer the saints. Father, we pray that each one of us may leave this meeting tonight having received something from your benevolent hand and from your gracious stores of mercy. So, Father, help us, we pray. Help the choir as we sing. Help Peter as he comes to preach the word of God toward the end of the meeting. Help the congregation, Lord. Help us all to sit with ears open and hearts open to receive the truth of your word. And may we know that real sense of your presence in our midst tonight. Father, we pray indeed that your Holy Spirit would come down and hover over this building, that everyone inside might know that personal meeting with the true and the living God. We ask our Father for everywhere else in our province where men who are born again of your Spirit will lift up your word and will preach it. We pray that there again you might be pleased to attend, Lord. We thank you that you and your Holy Spirit are not bound by time or by distance. You are able to be everywhere at all times and in all places. Father, what a wonderful God you are. And we come tonight to give you our thanks and to pray for your help. And all of these things that we ask in the name of our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Going to have to watch the clock tonight, but we trust that the Lord will bless us all as we gather together. As I've said, we come from different parts of the province nowadays. We're not one localized choir. We have men here from Ballymena, Ballymoney, Lurgan, Portadown, Banbridge, Newtownards, Bangor. Anybody have left out? No? Yes? Oh, well, anybody who comes from Belfast is always a special guest. But we're here tonight to glorify the Lord and to exalt his name. That's our purpose. choir are going to come in a moment to sing our first two pieces. The first is entitled, Fairest Lord Jesus. We often sing that little chorus, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, and in all truth there is none fairer than He. There is none to compare with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our second piece is entitled, Yes, I Know. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we read, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And this little piece said, Yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. So these first two pieces we're going to come to sing now, Fairest Lord Jesus, and Yes, I Know.
I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know.
Wonder, have you experienced that cleansing power in your life tonight? We're going to give the congregation an opportunity now to stand and sing again the second hymn on the program tonight. Blessed be the fountain of blood. We're singing here tonight about the blood of Jesus Christ. It is our theme, and we pray that you'll all stand again and sing to the glory of God this wonderful hymn of praise. As we journey through life, we encounter many storms. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the apostles each warned us of the trials and tribulations of life, and especially of the Christian life. For those of us who are saved, it's not an easy life to live. It's a life which brings tribulation and toil and suffering for many. There are many today across our world who are literally giving their lives rather than deny our Lord Jesus Christ. And we live in a very sheltered society, even though it is becoming much more prevailing against us, against the Christian message. But as we think about the storms of life, we're going to sing a piece now entitled A Shelter in the time of storm. And I hardly need to tell you who the subject of that piece will be. It will be our Lord Jesus Christ. But the psalmist was able to say, "Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." And that's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. I wonder, are you sheltered in him tonight? I wonder, is he the one who provides your refuge and your peace? A shelter in the time of storm is our first piece. Then our second piece is entitled Grace Greater Than Sin. Grace is always greater than sin because God is sovereign and he rules over all things. Sin was defeated at Calvary when our Lord both died and rose again from the dead. The devil was defeated and sin was defeated. And yet sin is a problem for all of us too, even if we're saved a lifetime, as it were. Sin is still a problem. There's still the battle between the old nature and the new nature. The Apostle Paul was able to say, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God. We don't need to have to give in to defeat. We have victory in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So it's two pieces, a shelter in the time of storm and grace greater than sin. We're always very grateful to our sister Linda for accompanying us. When I hear Linda on the piano, sometimes I think she has 20 fingers instead of 8. But we're very grateful to Linda indeed for her accompaniment tonight. Now our brother Peter Smith, his pastor Peter Smith, is going to come and bring God's word to us.
If you have your Bible with you, will you turn, please, with me to a verse that's already been quoted. In fact, I don't know why I'm up here. Because from the second piece that we sang, and the hymns that you've been singing up there, and what we've just sung, I don't need to say any more. When I was asked to speak tonight, I went home, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? Because I usually get a couple of months' notice, you know, and this didn't quite work out that way this time. And into my head there popped one word, blood. So I'm going to talk about blood tonight. We're going to read 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from sin, all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen.
God will bless us that reading from his own precious word. I have a text. It's Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, which says quite simply, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Now, against that background then, I want to talk to you about this seventh verse where the word says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So let's think first of all about the blood. The Bible says the blood cleanses us. So ask yourself the question, whose blood is he talking about? He's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Jesus was the Son of God. He was divine. And yet, if you think about it, the blood that was in him and the blood which he shed on the cross at Calvary was really Mary's blood. So what made it different? What made it special? And the answer to that is his paternity, the fact that he was the Son of God. So he was not only Son of Mary, but he was the Son of God as well. And so, because of that, his blood to us has become special. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 tells us, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And Peter, talking about the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, says, 1 Peter 1:18, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so the blood is there. The situation is well known. Nobody needs to really go over it in great depth. We realize that Jesus, as he hung on the cross, he expired there because his blood was taken from him. The piercing of his body caused his blood to flow from him, and in that shedding of his blood, we find our forgiveness. The purpose, then, of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is told to us in that verse in Leviticus, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." If you take the time to read through Leviticus, which is not the easiest of books to read through, you will discover that the blood was considered by God so important that if anybody shed another person's blood, then that person found that his life was forfeit and he too had to die a life for a life. And so there's the question. There's the question. Let me go back to that verse in Hebrews where the word in the middle of the verse says, "No remission." Without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would not be possible for there to be any remission of our sins. What does that mean? It means quite simply that you're stuck with it. You can do nothing about it. It will be in you. Go back to the Garden of Eden for a minute. Ask yourself the question, what happened when Adam partook of the forbidden fruit? Where did he go just immediately after that? Smallest child in Sunday school will be able to tell you, he went and hid in the bushes. God came down in the cool of the day to talk with him as he regularly did and couldn't find him. And you get God saying something which seemed most peculiar for a God who knows everything and a God who knows everybody, including us here tonight. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? And of course, Adam found himself in the bushes. From that, we get a picture of what happened to the whole human race. Adam, who had walked in the garden with God from his creation, now found himself at a distance from God, separated from God, afraid to get near to God. I want to say to you that the whole human race has been away from God from that day to this. Distance between us and the God who made us. Distance between us and the Jesus who gave his life as a ransom for our souls. Distance. But when we read 1 John chapter 1, if you follow through what John is saying here, he says, this is what we know. This is where we have been. This is what we understand. Now he said, I'm writing these things so that you can join with us, so that you can have fellowship with us as we have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Distance, not a problem, because when Jesus shed his blood, he bridged that divide between the two. And John is saying, quite simply, it is possible for us now to have fellowship with him. You can have fellowship with us, just as we have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So the purpose of the blood was that the life of the flesh was in it. But then its power is seen in the second part of that verse. It cleanseth us from all sin. Why? Why did we need cleansing from our sin? Well, because of Adam's sin, the Bible says the whole human race became tainted by it. So that in the New Testament, the apostles can write that we are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. And you may be here tonight and you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know, I'm not a big sinner, I'm not a bad sinner, but well, maybe I haven't really got myself back into a closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not really walking with him. And sometimes there's a problem. Some of us Christians, you know, we try to live our life. And sometimes we make a mistake, and sometimes we make errors, and people look at us and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. But then there are some folks who manage to sort of get the better of that. And they live their lives, and people look at them and say, I would love to be the kind of Christian you are, but I couldn't do it the way you do it. I couldn't keep it the way you keep it. I couldn't do the things you do. I couldn't live the way you live. I want to tell you that this little verse that we have here in 1 John is the secret. It's a secret that you can know if you become a Christian. You see, hanging back and saying, I don't really know how to do it. I don't know if I would be able to stick it. I don't know if I could keep going. I don't know if I could come up to this standard. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says this in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So there's the first part. There's the first part. The distance between us and God goes. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him for his forgiveness, his ransoming of our life takes place, and we become one with him. We join the body of Christ. We become part of the body of believers that's known as the Church of Jesus Christ. But then, of course, we go on a wee bit further. One of the commentators on this particular verse comes to this part which says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And he says, if you stop the verse there, you have all that is involved in being a Christian. Once you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become one with the body of Christ, and you have fellowship one with another. And then he goes on to say this, and the word and that follows that could be replaced by the word also. And so if you read that way, listen to how it reads now. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Also, as well as the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the idea that is conveyed there, I don't know how you see it. Most of us who've been brought up in church, we have grown up with this verse of Scripture. We've quoted it to other people. We've listened to it for ourselves, and we've thought about it, and we've realized that we've been born again, that the Spirit of God has made us members of the body of Christ, and we rejoice in that. But that's not what John's talking about here. John's talking about the walking in the light, and that's where we fall down. That's where we find ourselves in difficulty. Sometimes we realize that we're not as walking as well in the light as we ought to be, that maybe we should be doing something different. And I don't know about you, but every single one of us, if we're honest, there's hardly a day goes by Hardly a day goes by, but we make a mistake of some kind, that we commit a sin of some kind. There are some church organizations which use prayer books and such like that, and one of the prayers in them starts with the idea, we confess our sins and ask you to forgive us, before they ask for anything else. And that's really what John is talking about here. He's not talking about you getting saved all over again. Once you're saved, once the Holy Spirit has made you a member of the body of Christ, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus has dealt with the sin question in your life, past, present, and future. That's why in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not possible. Can't be done. But you see, if you think about it, remember the kind of days when Jesus lived on earth? Remember that night when they were having the Lord's Last Supper and the disciples were squabbling among themselves and saying, well, you know, I want to be the first. I want to sit at his right hand and I don't want to be sitting way down the bottom. And while they're all squabbling amongst themselves, what does Jesus do? Takes a towel, girds himself, kneels down, because these boys are all reclining. You don't want to look at the standard Lord's Supper picture that you see, where they're all sitting on a straight thing. They don't do that. They have what's known as tricliniums. And the tricliniums only about so high. And they're followed, they're covered by palliasses. You know what a palliass, not a friendly donkey, no. Palliasses is a stuffed mattress with hay and straw in it. And so they're all leaning on one another, you know, hanging about. I'm better than you. You think? And while they're all doing that and their feet are stretched out behind them, Jesus is going round washing their feet. Why? Because in the days in which they lived, just to walk along the street got your feet very, very dusty, uncomfortable. And so it was the host's responsibility to cleanse their feet. Now here's a situation. You and I are walking with the Lord in this world today. You and I, every moment, every day, when we get out of bed, put our feet on the ground, our feet start to get dusty. We start to pick up little bits of sinfulness that stick to us. I don't know how you go to bed at night. Do you pray? Do you get down on your knees or even just lying in your bed with your eyes shut? Do you say, Lord, forgive me for whatever I've done this today that I shouldn't have done. And if there were things I should have done and I didn't do, forgive me for that. And ask for his forgiveness. Why? So that you can continue to walk in the light. So that you continue to have fellowship with one another and with him. And if tonight I'm talking to somebody who doesn't really know Jesus as their Savior, then there is something for you to think about here in this particular situation. The word cleanseth, we think about that, cleaning up, washing us, making us clean and fit. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Interesting that there are two words which are used in this little section. The end of verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, sin is the root that we have inherited from Adam. Every one of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is sin in every soul. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You will never be perfect and sinless until you get the other side. You need to recognize that and acknowledge it. But when you read down a little bit, he says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, there's the fruit, sin the root, sin's the fruit. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This particular portion of the Word of God has its roots way back in the book of Leviticus, in a lot of the sacrificial work that was done with the priests way back there in those days. The interesting thing is that when you stop and think about what went on then, when the animals were brought for slaughter and they were killed by the priest and ready to be sacrificed, there was no sacrifice. There was nothing effective in the sacrifice. Oh yes, the animals had been brought. The throats had been cut and the blood had been caught in the basin. But there was no sacrifice recognized until what? Until the priests sprinkled the altar, sprinkled the mercy seat, and then there was cleansing, and there was wholeness, and there was a beginning for a new year on the Day of Atonement. So we have the root. The root is dealt with. Romans 5 and verse 6 tells us that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We don't like that word, sure we don't. Some of these old-fashioned words that these preachers come away with, if only they could find something nicer to say. There is nothing nicer. In fact, read Jude and you'll get it a whole lot stronger than you get it here. Ungodly. Don't want to know God. Not interested in God. Keep God away from me. I don't even believe that there's a God. When we were yet without strength, when we were unable to do anything for ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. And so we have that verse in verse 9, which says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we've got this confession, and then there's acceptance by God, and because of it all, there's freedom from guilt. Absolutely free from guilt. He sets us free. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. We've sung about it tonight several times. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes our salvation work. His dying on the cross was what purchased our salvation. His blood continually, all the time, every minute of every day is available to us. Some of you older folks remember the days when we weren't so sophisticated as we are now. Some of you perhaps grew up in some of the mission halls round about here. And as you were growing up, there were tensions and there were challenges and there were questions. And the answer that you got, just plead the blood. I tell you what, I grew up with that and never knew what it meant. You the same? Plead the blood. Why? Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son's blood. And because Jesus was able to go back to heaven and send the Holy Spirit, was an indication that God saw the sacrifice was acceptable to him and he acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ had done a good job. The question is, have you experienced it? Maybe you come here regularly, but you've never really put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never really surrendered yourself to him. You're still trailing around these old sins that have bothered you. You lie in bed at night and your mind goes back over the past and you think about things that were done years and years and years ago. I want to tell you, you may never blot out some of those memories, but the awful effect they had on you then is dealt with by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the kind of things that he cleans off, that he wipes away. And the end result, John puts it together for us. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We belong. We know that we're a part of the family. And the blood of Jesus Christ, every day, every minute of every day, is available not only to cleanse us, but to keep us clean, moment by moment, day by day. Do you sense the cleansing of the blood in your life? Are you conscious of the nearness that you now enjoy with the Father? Or is God the Father still at a distance? Is he still somewhere way out there? Are you like the prodigal, sitting in a bad place and waiting to come to yourself and say, I will return to my Father and to home? When you do that, see the wee man who came back in Luke 15? His father fell on his neck and kissed him. Isn't that amazing? Covered in pig stuff. Smell. Ooh. Who would want it? But his father hugged him. I want to tell you, God is ready to do that with you. And there is not a soul upon this earth who is too far gone, but God loves you. He has always loved you. He has been like the father in the story. He has stood there waiting for you to respond to him, letting you know that you are loved, that there's a place for you, and that there's a means whereby you can be cleaned up, you can be restored, you can walk in fellowship with God and with his people. Just imagine if you weren't saved, you found yourself in heaven. I tell you what, heaven would be hell. You know that? Heaven would be hell. Because you could not stand the holiness that emanates from a holy God. But if you're saved, you know that you're home. You know that God has done everything that he said he would do. And your life is hid with Christ in God. If tonight you're not sure, don't go away. Come talk to us. All these men here, every single one of them, has been to the cross, has found the blood to be effective, can tell you how you too can enjoy that life. So you don't need to be shy. Come talk to us. We don't bite. We can't sing, but we don't bite. You know, you're all right. We do our best. Sure we do, boys. And the Lord be with you and bless you and help you to make that decision. The choir's going to finish tonight by singing the little piece, Come to the Saviour. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation. We don't sing it just for the sake of singing a piece or expressing words. We sing it because we want you to know that there's an open invitation for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Saviour.
Thank you.
Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight that there is an open door. We know, Lord, that there are times which are recorded in Scripture when a door was closed. Think of Noah, and his door got closed. And the foolish virgins found a closed door. But tonight, Lord, we rejoice that there's a door open, and we can pass through it. Because you have said to us, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And we bless you, our Father, that tonight the offer of mercy stands there, waiting for us to grasp it, to receive it, to make it our own. Grant then tonight, Lord, that your word will find a lodging place in every heart, and that you will draw near to each one, and especially to those who need you as Savior and as Lord. And grant, O God, that there will be joy in the, amongst the angels of heaven tonight because some sinner repents and receives the gospel. Now, Lord, we thank you for this time spent together in fellowship around your word and in the ministry of song. We ask that as we part and leave from this place that you'll take each one to their homes in safety. May each individual bowed in your presence now know your never-failing presence and the cleansing day by day that keeps us in fellowship with your Son. We ask these things, Lord, that Jesus might be glorified. Amen.